So you said that you did live out in the Orange Grove?
Well, yes. You see, I had graduated from the convent, and I went my first year, as I said, to Pomona College, and Chuck was in at Chaffey High School, and we had this little Ford, and the roads were terrible. And it took us about a half hour, and I don't think it, well, from Cucamonga, where we lived up closer to the mountains than the little village of Cucamonga in those days, it would take a half hour to drive to school, and my first class in the morning was at 7:30, so I had to leave the house at 7. I was not very happy at Pomona, although there were quite a few people there that I knew that I'd known the year I was in high school down here. But the convent was just as lax as could be. We could do anything.
When you say convent,
Immaculate Heart Convent at Hollywood.
Oh, on Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. So.
Did you live there, or did you?
Oh no, I was a boarder. I was a boarder at school. The family still were in Long Beach. Mother and the two boys were still in Long Beach. There was a little financial deal in the family. So, that's one of the reasons that we were at Pomona, so that I could go, I mean at Cucamonga, so I could go to Pomona College. But we were not, it just, that was too far a drive and so on, so we moved back into Los Angeles, to Los Angeles. We'd never lived in Los Angeles. Oh yes, that we did in 1902. My father was associated with the Atchison Rock and Gravel Company. And we lived in Los Angeles. We lived on Broadway and Mainland together. And they were just building an army company with hamburgers in those days. And the houses were like many of the houses in San Francisco and Oakland and Sacramento. Part of the first floor was a little bit below ground, mm-hmm. and we had great big steps, and we didn't have electricity. We used the chandeliers were gas.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Reno, when we lived in Reno, there was electricity there, and we had electric lights.
Mm-hmm.
But when they put them in Boulder. In my grandmother's house, it was just long cord with a single globe hanging from the ceiling, and there would be just one globe, but that was so much better than the lamps that we had used before.
Yes.
So, we didn't stay in Los Angeles very long. We went back to Nevada. We left Nevada the first. Well, Dad's income was better than it was in Los Angeles.
So when you were living in Long Beach, you remember the St. Anthony's Parish?
Yes.
Was that a very large congregation at that time?
No, about 150 families. Catholics were not very popular in Long Beach at that time. And when the church was first built, they had a Mexican priest, and that was minority. It was a capital M in those days, much more so than it is now. And then when Father Virden was sent there, he was the one that built the little school, and we made our first communion and were confirmed by Father Reardon, and he also married us.
Huh?
His mother died while we were on our honeymoon, God only had 5 days. When he came home from the service, the some drug company had become established in Long Beach that the sun was bought by the owl very shortly, within a year and a half after that, and God was the resident manager of the see, the owl put in several stores, Pacific and Ocean, and on Pine between Ocean and First Street. Then they put in the Third Street. They bought the drugstore where Dwight was working at the time of when they came. That was their first store. Where it was the Sun, and then it was the Owl. And then they put in a store at Fourth and Pine. So they had the four stores here, and then after a comparatively short time, maybe within 10 years, they put in the store at San Pedro, and Dwight also supervised that store. And then my brother, on account of his children's health, moved from Long Beach to San Pedro. Well, my brother was the manager there, and then on account of that climate didn't agree with the oldest girl, she had asthma. My father had asthma. It must have run in the family. And so they moved over to Santa Ana. And so Frank was in charge over there for a while. And, Paul Dwight remained with the Owl until about 43 or so.
But in the Owl drugstore then. That was a chain that
owned
the store. It was not.
No. The Owl owned the store and operated it out of Los Angeles, of San Francisco and Los Angeles. And when they finally sold to Sontag, they had something like 30 or 40 stores. The Owl Drug Company was in all the communities around Southern California, and they had stores in Sacramento and Fresno and I think Bakersfield. I'm pretty sure they had one in Bakersfield. And in some of those, they had maybe a dozen stores in Los Angeles and probably that many in San Francisco. And they had three, I believe, in Sacramento. They had been in the business, and then they had pharmacists who'd had business experience, you see. And then they went overboard in buying property in all of these. So they owned most of their stores, the buildings, the ground and the buildings. And they overextended themselves, I think, in real estate. And then during the bad financial troubles that we had in 1933, they sold what they could of some of the properties, and then Sontag Drug Company bought the Owl Drug Company. But in the meantime, Dwight had that was the beginning of the pharmacies in buildings where there are lots of doctors.
Yes.
So Dwight had in his first one, while he was still managing the Owls, and it was called the Pacific Southwest Building. That is on the corner of American and 2nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put in one in the security building.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then the next one he put in, he and a boy, the Putnams. Freeland Putnam was Dwight's partner in that store.
Oh.
And they lived, they came to Long Beach for a long time. Then they put in the one up at in the Pacific. Not Pacific. Professional building, at 8th and Pine. And then after that, they put in one up in Dixon Halls and in Lakewood. And but some of them when they were only a one-man store, it wasn't, you couldn't operate them with, because they'd have to have at least two to three pharmacists, because the state law only allowed the men to work a certain length of time. And then the men themselves didn't want to work 4 hours in one store and three or five or something in another store. So when Bright died, we had just the two stores. His partner, the first was Freeman Putnam, who died, and then some of the men that were in the other stores, buildings changed. One building will have quite a number of doctors, and then the doctors will build their own, and the same with the attorneys. There had to be a certain number of doctors in a building to make a pharmacy pay, because Bright men, he never employed union men because it wasn't satisfactory. So he always paid higher salaries than the unions paid, so he never had problems with that. So, but I don't know, the Putnams lived out in Dixon Halls area. And
Lucille
was
the pharmacist with her and her daughter Barbara.
Yes. Well, they, Freeland was in school with Bright and me at SC. And I had known them before they went. Before we were in high school, I moved them in a new prep, and of course, Bright's family moved to Long Beach in the same, I think, in April of 1906, and we came down in June of 1906. Mm-hmm. So,
you grew up together then?
Oh, yes. A lot of the people, yes, but I don't see very much. Now, the Greens came to Long Beach about that time, too.
Horace Green.
Well, the father and the boys were all young children, in the third, fourth, fifth grades in those days. So,
Nancy Green Latimer is a very good friend of mine.
Oh.
Her father was Paul Green, I think. And he had George Green's brother.
Yes. Well, George Green and I were at Pomona at the same time. I knew them quite well. Horace was the youngest of the boys, as I remember. George was older, and then there was another boy older than that, he was the big boy of the family and couldn't be bothered with kids.
Imagine that the stores on Pine Avenue in those early days, you knew everyone.
Yes, and Buttons was mercantile. The Buttons store that, as we know it, as we grew up, but when we first came to Long Beach, it was called the Mercantile.
Okay.
The early pictures of the store were in the downtown store, though, after they began branching out and putting in other stores all around the southern part of the state. The big bank of the in those days was the one on the corner of First and on the left side of the street of Pine and Fish Street. You know, where you went up the steps and so on. I don't know whether they dismantled that building or not.
The First and Pine on the northwest side?
Is it?
Yes, I think that was the First National Bank of Long Beach. The Bank of Long Beach and the National Bank of Long Beach, which became Security across the street.
I don't remember now what bank it was, but that I thought it was so elegant. They employed a colored man who polished those brass rails, and I used to see him doing that when I went to school in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Was that the building with the clock in it?
Yes, that's the one with the clock in it.
I think that was built by James Hartwell.
Yes, it was.
And just this week I interviewed his granddaughter.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, Lois Hartwell Nixon. Yes, I spoke with her. And she said, as far as she remembered, it was always called the bank with the clock.
Clock bank. that's what they called it as children, anyway, the clock bank. So.
You said there was feeling against the Catholics and
the Methodist Church was very strong, and so was the Christian Church
yes.
in those early days here. And, I don't know whether it was because, now, I don't remember that there were any Mexican people that went to church, you know, as I did as a child. I don't remember them. But, of course, at the convent, your sisters and their Immaculate Heart, their mother house was in Mexico. And many of them, I'd say, or maybe there weren't too many of us, For instance, in the graduating class, there were 21 of us, and it was the largest graduating class they'd ever had up to that time. And a good many of the people, the girls that were there, were down the Del Valles and the Gavis from San Pedro. Let me see, the Meadows, you know, the little town that used to be Meadow, I don't know what it's called, it's just Los Angeles now. They were there, and the, what's the other family over there? Yes, there were some of the girls from the Dominguez family, and then there was another one. The family is still around in this part of the country
imagine there were Mexicans around who worked on the ranchos.
Oh yes. The Meadows and the Del Valles and the Foresters. They were the early people here. Their land grants were from Spain before this was ever part of the United States. And many of those girls, their families were old-timers, and they're lovely. And then there was the French consul in Tucson, were there at the same time that I was, and the daughter, by the way, is now living in Newport Beach. You haven't asked me the questions. I just kind of been running off.
You've been answering the things I was going to ask you. I did want to ask you one thing. We had interviewed Dr. Henry Ward at one time. I didn't do the interview. And he was talking about an old drugstore in Long Beach that was a very elegant place. And we have a quote in which he actually said he talked with Dwight McSagen, and he said the place was, he people were too frugal to buy at such an elegant store. It had a tiled, you know, floor and glass. Which store was that?
Well, that's a sister store. They put in, they tried to buy the Long Beach Gun Company, which was on the corner of Pine and Oceanfront, mm-hmm. and they would not sell. So, as I said, the first store that the Owl had in Long Beach was they bought from the Sun Drug Company,
mm-hmm.
and that was at Third and Pine, and that was Glass always his headquarters. But when they built this, what they did was to build this very elegant store on in the middle of the block on the west side of Pine, and it was a beautiful store, beautiful tile, and it was all open front, and my brother was the manager there, Franciski, and he couldn't get enough clothes on. See, they had no facility to heat the place, and it was very high ceiling with Tiffany glass in the ceiling, and it was the coldest place you ever saw in your life. And one winter, particularly, was an extremely cold winter here, and Frank had chilblains. Oh, he had a very definite trouble with his feet, which he never completely overcame afterwards. And so, but the store was like some of the stores, the pharmacies, and old drug stores that you see in the South. The fixtures were, the Sun and Owl up on Third and Pine was all mahogany, and it was beautiful, beautifully finished. But they had, but the cases and some of the shelving in the one at 33 Pine was the number of the office. That was the number of the store, 33. And the post office number of the store, and it was always called the 33 Pine store. Many of the cases were leaded glass, and so it really was. And they finally sold the building, because it was not suitable, really, for a drugstore. And, you know, in those days, the drugstores had fountains. And, you know, as kids we were treated with, it was really extra special when we'd have one with a banana split, and it'd be a long dish with a banana cut in the three different kinds of ice cream. Oh, brother. But I never cared much for ice cream, so I never ordered it.
Well, when I was reading, you do some research before we do our interviews, and when I was reading about Mr. McFadden's family, I read the obituary of Edgar McFadden.
Yes.
And so, was his the first funeral parlor in Long Beach, or was there
the six in 1906, two Martell and McFadden both opened mortuaries in Long Beach. Now, whether Edgar's was the first, they came, as I say, in April, and whether Mr. Mack bought a funeral home that was already here, I don't remember. Now, I could find out if it's of any importance at all, because my sister-in-law, Marie McFadden, grew up here and was very active. She went to school until she was ready to go into the university, and she went up to care. Well, she went the first year at USC,
mm-hmm.
and then because of a man became a widow and didn't like to live alone, Marie went to San Francisco, to California, and she and her aunt, instead of living in her aunt's place, they took an apartment over in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
So, but She married a man that was in university at the same time she was, a man older than herself, a little bit. But he had already graduated from University of Idaho and was in the bank. And then he, during the war, he was in Europe. And after being out as much as that, when he came back, his country, I mean, after the war, he just couldn't think of going to back into a bank or anything that would keep him inside. And so he took a course in forestry service. And so he was with the federal government as a forester after his graduation. And it was while he was there, he and Marie became acquainted and were married after they graduated.
Does she live?
They lived in Washington. Fred was assigned, Fred Monroe was assigned to the Washington area. And so when they first were married, he was on an area that was being sold. A lumber company was allowed to cut certain trees in that part of the forest. And they were 7 miles out of town, and the train didn't run on Sunday so that they could go into town to do their marketing to church. So they lived out really in the woods for the first year they were married. And then after a baby was coming, he was transferred to another location. In fact, he was transferred to Oregon, and then back to Washington later on. But she lives in a little town, Wenatchee, Washington. That's where he was located the last 20 years, I guess. She went back to school. She graduated from Berkeley, California. And she went back to school and followed her majors, history and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And she began teaching because they didn't have enough teachers. First, this little town asked her to be help them out in the library, school library. And so she then, it was after that, she had to take some courses in Washington to be for her teacher's certificate. And she taught until she reached the retirement age. Fred retired all about 5 years, I think, before Marie. And she stayed there, and she still hobnobs with all those early teachers, and every letter, oh, so-and-so came back. First time they've been back in 17 years, and oh, we renewed our friendship, and it was so delightful. She is a very sharp individual and outgoing, and there isn't anything that goes on in the county that she doesn't seem to have a finger in the pie. Though they call on her, and it's all volunteer work and that sort of business, but and she's been very active in church work up there, and so she attends all these conferences all over the United States, drives around like a chicken, and she's not a chicken in age.